Good morning, everybody. How are you? Thank you for attending today's service at the Unitarian Universalist Church. We are very glad to see you. I'd also like to say thanks to June for coming with us and playing some music for us this morning. And with that, I will go to community news, of which I have none, so try and glance at the schedule on the back. It looks like there are, yes, Visions Happen activities on Sunday and also Reverend Alex's office hours. And as always, I'd like to invite you over to the parish house after the service for some refreshments. I was over there and it looks lovely. Our opening words this morning are "come into this place," and you're welcome to read along in your order of service. Come into this place with your whole self. The parts that are raw and exposed, the part that is beaming with joy, the part that is seeking the truth, the new, the possibility. Come into this place, open your heart, lay down your burden, lift up your hope for something new to happen. Come into this place with fellow travelers on the journey, some faces new and others familiar, and all welcoming you here now to this moment. Come, let us worship together. Thank you. And as Reverend Alex lights our chalice, please speak with me again the words in your order of service. Fire consumes and casts a bright light. May our chalice flame consume our regrets for the past, our fears about the future, and our worries about today. May it light for us a path of joy and peace. And let's also read together our unison affirmation of covenant and mission. Our covenant is to be a loving, joyful community that nurtures spiritual growth, promotes compassion, social responsibility, and service in an atmosphere of mutual trust. Our mission is to be a faith community devoted to love and respect, reason and justice.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
To this beautiful late summer, early fall day. Did anyone bring any more non-perishable goods for the Family Services Center? We have. Okay, thank you all. I'm going to deliver them this week before I go out to Montana on Friday, and I'm sure they will be deeply appreciative. I'm thinking it would be a good idea to continue this practice when possible, because as we know, there are hungry people out there, and they all need our support. And one thing about having non-perishable food goods is it does save lives. So thank you for that. And now, one of the most important parts of this congregation's life, as we saw last week, is the opportunity to welcome each other. So once again, I'm going to invite us to be mindful about masks and social distancing, but let's take some time and just welcome each other for a few minutes and enjoy seeing each other again after so long. It's a great occasion. And you can continue the conversations at coffee hour, where there will be refreshments and hot water for tea and coffee and many other wonderful things. But thank you. And if you probably noticed, if you were here last week, I'm giving more time for this because I think it's really essential that people have a chance to meet each other and say more than hello, because it's been a long time. And now we will have more music. Important attributes of unity is to be able to share our joys and our sorrows. And sometimes people won't want to say them out loud, but will want to come up and light a candle up in the sand here. But we do have the opportunity for people to share any personal joys or sorrows as they wish. We'd ask you to please wear a mask and to speak directly into the microphone. And I can help you do light the candle if needed. So please come on up and share your joy or sorrow, or both, as the case may be. That's always a good idea, isn't it?
Good morning, I'm Rich Chafee, and I just want to acknowledge Corrine's birthday, which will be on Tuesday, I believe. She said, you're what, in somewhere in your 30s, Corrine? I forget what that was. Anyway.
So I'm Carol Holmgren. Something I didn't say last week that I want to acknowledge is both the joy of being here together and thanks and gratitude to everybody for making that possible. But also, before we launched further into this time together, I want to also give deep gratitude to everybody who made it possible for us to gather electronically through the past year or so, because for some of us that was really important and really helpful. And so I just want to, Shawnee people go forward by looking backwards. And so by acknowledging the past. And so that's part of what I want to do, is just really acknowledge appreciation for that, even as we journey together forward, and also deep appreciation for the beautiful flowers that spontaneously came together last week, and with a little bit more planning this week. So, thank you.
I'm Corrine Chafee, and I just want to acknowledge Matt McElhaney, who knew the instant he saw me today that my birthday was on Tuesday. Thank you, Matt. Hi.
I'm Sue Malik, and I apologize for looking like this. I just came out away from the barn, and it reminds me of what our words were this morning about come as you are with all of your, whatever you're in or however you're feeling. And I want to say that a dear friend of mine for 50 years passed, and I'm trying not to cry, but Alex came on Friday, and he said the most beautiful words to me, you did, one of which is, how are you going to handle it? How are you going to manage it? And I'm still pondering the mysteries, and I think of all of the other people I know in our congregation who have gone through death of relatives and dear friends, and I talk and say, well, how did you do it? Thank you.
I will light one more candle for the joys and sorrows that are in our hearts and not expressed out loud. I also am going to invite us to do a meditation time that may be just a tad longer than you're accustomed to. And I'd like us to be thinking and feeling about all the people in the world who are suffering, who are refugees, who are in wartime, who are poor, who are children, who are elders. And there's so much happening in the world that it's tempting to have it go by and get on to the next thing. So for a little bit of time, I'd invite us to be in silence, to remember our own joys and sorrows, those in the larger world, and one more thing, to be able to remember some time this last week when something kind was done to you, or you did something kind to another person. I'm going to end this meditation with an abbreviated form of what's called metta practice in Buddhist teachings, metta meaning loving kindness in Pali. And I'll just say it myself and you just take it in. May all beings be filled with loving kindness. May all beings be well. May all beings find happiness. May all beings be freed from fear. Well, as I said before, good morning, and what a lovely morning it is. June, thank you for being here with us today. And Amy, thank you for filling in for me, and I was filling in for Karen. So thank you. So recently, probably in the last few months, you have gotten mailings from the Board of Trustees about an envisioning process here at the church. And thank you to everyone who took part in those conversations, and I believe there will probably be continuing conversations because you are the congregation and this will end up being your vision. But the word vision is a really interesting one, to me at least. At its base, of course, it can mean our eyesight or lack of. I'm partially colorblind, and so there are colors that I have no idea what they look like, but I can guess. Visions can also be psychic experiences that can come on us through meditation, through sometimes when we're recovering from illness, from spiritual quests and various types of drugs. We can't forget those either. Such visions oftentimes can help us gain insights and deepening awareness of self and the world. And as we all know, Indigenous cultures have used vision quests for millennia to help young people particularly to find their path in life. It's very powerful experiences, and I'm sure some of you here have probably had either vision experiences or spiritual quests to find those visions, and they can be very powerful. They also can come when we don't expect them. But in the corporate and nonprofit world, there are organizations that also use vision and mission statements to clarify their purpose and pathway into the future. This morning, I'm going to talk about vision only. Mission is left best for another time, although I will add that I have two apps on my iPhone that will do random vision or mission generators of just random words. So if you ever want to do a random mission statement, I'm your guy. I checked the UUA website for their definition of vision statements, and here it is. A carefully defined picture of where the congregation wants to be in 5 or more years. It is the dream of what the congregation can become in alignment, and I'm going to quote there, with their vow with the universe. I'll repeat it one more time. A carefully defined picture of where the congregation wants to be in 5 or more years. It is the dream of what the congregation can become in alignment with their, quote, vow with the universe. And I find that vow with the universe very interesting. So I decided to look farther to see if I could find some typical Unitarian Universalist Church vision statements. So here are a couple. The Columbus, Ohio Unitarian Universalist Church of Columbus is to transform and heal ourselves and our world through reason and love. Pretty short and to the point. The First Unitarian Universalist Church of Wichita, Kansas, though, went a little bit deeper. It is our shared vision to celebrate the challenge of living and growing together as a congregation, which promotes leadership that honors intellectual, spiritual, and cultural diversity, nurtures human relationships, personal growth, and creativity, enriches life through purposeful artistic and spiritual and environmental engagement, and pursues justice for all kinds of all people. I looked on a number of other churches, and there seemed to be some confusion at times about what is a vision statement and what is a mission statement, because I know that they do get confused. For example, the First Unitarian Church of Philadelphia, for example, has a very short mission statement of 14 words. Their vision statement, which I'm not going to read, is much longer, almost a half page, with detailed aspirations to be complete by 2023. Well, how about us? How about the Unitarian Universalist Church of Meadville? Well, we read the mission statement and the covenant earlier. I do not know if you have a vision statement somewhere in either the bylaws or you've known it for years and I am the only person that doesn't know it. But I haven't seen a vision statement. And that's probably one of the things that we're going to be looking at this year. It seems to me that vision statements tend to be, at least in the corporate and nonprofit worlds, very rational, very well thought out, somewhat head-oriented, and a lot of angst around where semicolons ought to be. Now, that's all good, and that's part of an envisioning process in churches. But what about what I'm going to call heart visions? They go beyond a list and aspirations and a lot of conversations. and their heart. Sometimes it's really hard to hear them, to feel them, to identify them, but they are there. Such visions tend to be extraordinary spiritual experiences that come to us in very unexpected ways, and they become what I could call an aha moment, or an epiphany, or a peak experience. Here's an example. Yesterday, I went up to Chautauqua Institute to do a wedding rehearsal for a wedding I will be doing later this afternoon up there. And a wedding couple and I were talking about the homily I'm doing, and they told me about a vacation they took because the honeymoon and the wedding were postponed from 2020, so consequently they decided to take a road trip. And they were going to Virginia and go to Virginia Beach, and they were going to go to several wildlife refuges because they're birders, and they really like to find birds and other animals and so on. And in that area, there's an island that there are some semi-wild ponies who live there. And the young woman, who's the bride, had wanted desperately to see them because when she was growing up as a child, she read about those ponies. And she became a lifelong lover of horses. So I won't go into the story because it is a fairly detailed one, including a hurricane that went through while we were there. But they were missing the ponies, and it was going to be deeply depressing for them. They decided one more time they were going to go and see if they could find these ponies. And usually they're far off in the distance, so you can't really see them very well. But what they said was they went to the sanctuary again by the ocean, and lo and behold, this whole group of ponies were splashing in the water, the sun had come out, the colors on their fur was beautiful, and their manes were glowing, and they came in their direction. And they almost gathered around them so they could watch this moment of profound clarity and vision in the natural world. And it was at that moment that they realized how important their relationship and their future marriage was going to be, because there were going to be other moments like that that would fill them with awe, and that was their vision. Now, I mentioned earlier this week in B&B that visions can be aha moments and epiphanies, as I said earlier, and they can change our lives. I've had them, and I expect that many of us in this room have had them as well, and maybe we didn't recognize those moments that gave us some clarity about the future or about our meaning of life or where our path would go. Where they can occur, it can be any place, but this sanctuary is one of them. And for those who haven't been here before, the sanctuary is nearly 200 years old. It was built in 1836. I often came into the sanctuary this last year for meditation practice, excuse me, and there were several times, and no, I was not on any substances, when I was just sitting quietly. And I just imagined that I heard the whispers, the voices of our religious ancestors here over nearly 200 years. And it was amazing because I'd look at the windows and the walls and the ceiling, and I'd imagine the presence of history and love, times of laughter and times of sorrow and tears. And I truly think that part of the vision of this congregation is in this building, because it is a sacred space. But it goes beyond these walls to the larger community. And this year, we'll be talking about what that new vision for this congregation will be. And what I hope is that at least part of that future vision pulls the heart, not just the mind, but the heart as well, toward compassion and caring, not only for us, but for the world beyond us, which desperately needs our help. The essence of that vision would be beyond words. You might hear words, but those would only be the doorway into something deeper and more profound and powerful. Such a heart vision will remind us of why we are here, to help the hungry and poor, to bring beauty to this space, like the flowers this morning. And thank you, Peggy, for the flowers. And just the joy and the sharing and occasionally the sorrow that is here with us, spontaneous, sharing, community. It tells us, these fearless vision that of the heart, to love the world. And sometimes we have to be reminded of that through words. But as I said before, they go beyond words. I was trying to think back to earlier days, and one vision statement, or song, if you will, was John Lennon's Imagine. I think that was very powerful. But I'm going to end here with another vision statement. The words may be a little bit hard to hear at times because it is an old recording, but you will recognize it, and I would suggest this is a vision of heart.
Kings of New York, let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi. We'll be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
May it become so. Peace, amen, shalom, blessings to us all. We will now return to the present moment and do our weekly offering for the congregation. And this month we are doing Share the Plate. Recipient is the Tamarack Wildlife Center, to which we have some acquaintance here. And so we welcome your contributions for them, also pledges, or just any other way that you would like to give, and we will be having music in time. Thank you. As we receive this offering from you within gratitude, please let us read out loud the words in the order of service for receiving the offering. Thank you, everyone. And thank you to Lee Ushers as well.
We've reached the end of our service, so it is time to extinguish our chalice and have some closing words. The one thing that you have that nobody else has is you. Your voice, your mind, your story, your vision. So write and draw and build and play and dance and live as only you can. Have a great week, everyone.
And don't forget, we have goodies and lots of conversation over in the parish house across the way in just a few minutes. I hope to see you there before I head north to do a wedding. So thank you, everyone. June, thank you again for being here today. And have a good day. Thank you.